1 minute now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Pleasant good evening to all of you there in the radio land, and welcome to the Cricket Show. Another wonderful show is anticipated this evening. I am Leon Francis with host Dennis Heat, and of course, just coming off a long birthday celebration. I'm not prepared, but I'm going to be here to the extent of the show. I want to say welcome to Hyacinth over there in London, England. And I want to say good evening and welcome to Donna Brown. Mercedes is not with us, and of course, we have with us Dennis Heat. Good evening to you, Dennis.
Good evening to you.
Mercedes as well. She has just come in.
Yes, good. I'm very happy to hear that. That's some issues. Don't see Mertris, Leon. I'm sorry I don't see her on the board, but so maybe you know something I don't.
Oh, that is probably Donna's phone then.
Yeah, that 8, is Donna. 7, we have
646.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 646. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know whether Donna has any way of reaching out to Mertris.
Okay, well, I'm sure she will try to text me a little later on and
right,
see
good.
We can get her in, or we'll try a little later on.
All right, see. Good. Well, good evening to all our listeners wherever you are. Welcome to another edition of the Cricket Show. And Leon, just back from his birthday celebration, will give us the usual opening start with the blessings for the show.
Yes, indeed. It's indeed a pleasure, Dennis, to do this. Look forward to doing it. And, of course, we're going to begin by asking God's presence in our house this evening. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. As we prepare for another show, start to bring the details of what transpired this week. He asked you to look over a show, keep us safe, let the show go on without any interruptions whatsoever. We thank you for this wonderful day that you have provided for us. It is in my neck of the woods. A very pleasant day, one for walking, one for swimming in the pool, one for just having a casual walk through the malls to do some shopping. But, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the ones who have helped us financially, the others who have done so morally, and whatever support they have provided us over the past 13 years. We therefore ask you to continue your blessings and help to the ones who are not so well, the ones who are asking for our help in terms of asking the Lord's blessings and healing touches on them, namely Dr. Lashley and his dear daughter Lisa, Merchis Nisbet and her dear mother Bubsy. We also ask you for prayers and blessings for Connie Wheatley, for Elimat. These were two hosts on this present show. We ask our care at least revival to our brother Everett Carter and Oliver Solomon. We ask you blessing and praise for El Camino Willett, who is asking for his country to promote him as a knight. And we here promote it and welcome any such award we feel is merited for this young man. We ask your prayers for Wentworth Francis, Gabriel Francis, Telbert, Andrew and Francis, my brothers and sisters, who are struggling with ill health. Lord, we want you to touch their bodies from the bottom of the sole of their feet to the top of their heads, Lord. Joseph Gunthrop, a schoolmate of mine, Mona Daniel, a great neighbor of mine as well, Fillmore Hallpeck, who might be with us this evening, who has lost his sister, Earl Stevens, Jeanette Hughes, my dear niece, Dr. Roger Brown, Linford McKenzie, one of our panelists, who has not been with us for a while, Lord, and he's struggling too, Lord. We ask your blessing and healing touches on him. And we ask you also your help in bringing back Dawn Simon back to her normal self, Lord. She was a vibrant lady, and now she's not able to do as much. Lord, we ask you to touch and heal all these folks that we mentioned. And not to forget the ones who have not expressed their concerns, Lord. We ask that you bring some healing touches to them as well. And we pray also for this country and the countries that are struggling with any kind of disaster, be it economic or otherwise, Lord. We just also want you to reach out to our brother Cardinal Mills. He too has been, in recent times, have been going through some struggles, Lord. We just hope that he will be healed by our asking your help, Lord, today. Anyone who we have forgotten, Lord, we just ask that you touch them. And we pray that this show will go on without any interruptions. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
we'd like to call on Dennis. Dennis, yes. Just before we go in, we just want to hear from Donna and Hyacinth. Donna, anything new you want to say on Mama Brown and her husband? That is going to be celebrating another birthday shortly.
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon. Yes, this is Donna.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I'm in New Jersey with my sister and my niece.
Yeah.
I'm hailing you from New Jersey this evening.
Okay.
My dad, yes, he'll be celebrating his 95th birthday on Friday.
Oh, goodness. That is awesome.
Yes.
And thank you for that. And Hyacinth, anything new from your neck of the woods? I know it's far, but we're hearing you, and we're glad that you're able to come on. And Hyacinth is not hearing us. Okay, Dennis, why don't you?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you there, Leon.
You're coming
Hello.
With anything else? That...
Yeah. All right. Hello again, and welcome to all our listeners wherever you are in the world. Today, here in the United States, this day, we pause to pay tribute, honor, and remember the lives lost in the terror attack of September 11, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this time, we are also reminding ourselves of the passing of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II of England. This
yes.
is The Cricket Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. Listen in the United States. Call us at 1-515-605-9850, or you can send us an email. And we want to hear from you. You can send us an email to thecricketshow@comcast.net. Remember, the email address is one word, no space. Set your reminder to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. And once again, I am Dennis Seed, sitting in with Leon Francis there in the background. Okay, Leon.
And Dennis, some of the things that we'll be covering, based on, we'll be talking about the death of those two stalwarts from the West Indies, in
yes.
the likes of Peter Lashley, one of my favorite, and Tony White, they're both
mm-hmm.
Barbadian players, and we will talk a little bit more. We talk
mm-hmm.
about the CPL and the final for the ladies are presently in progress, and we should ask Donna if she can keep us abreast with what's the score. And, okay, Trinbago, okay, and the Asia Cup is very much in the limelight. You know, we're hoping to see what if Pakistan can do a number on India or vice versa. And the ICC Player of the Month will be announced. At least we will bring it to the attention of the listeners. CWI men is on the 19 team over there in going through in Sri Lanka. And New Zealand, touring of India, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Australia. No,
Australia
tour
South
of South Africa, beg your pardon,
yeah.
and the USA minor leagues, the fixture list and results. And, of course, we'll have the coaches' corner in a while, and we have Audley coming in a little later on to bring us the Walter Henry birthday anniversary hour, and following that event, we will be introducing a new section to our show. We're going to be asking the ladies to present a special topic this evening, and we will be asking Sister Hyacinth over there in London to introduce. She has something special to let us know all about. And that's about the extent of it, and we will be pausing to give you the scores up to date as they come to hand. So, Dennis, as you prepare for our coach's corner, I'm sure you may have something to add, and why don't you do so now?
Right. Thank you so much, Leon. And, of course, in the interim, I may ask you please to see if you can reach Mertris. I would like to think that.
Yeah, okay. Definitely we do that.
I appreciate that very much, and it looks as our coach has arrived, so we will go straight into our coach's corner. So let's bring in the coach. The Cricket Coach Show USA, the USA Cricket Hall of Fame USA, and the American Cricket Education Council, ACEC, is pleased to welcome the weekly joint collaborative broadcast of the Coach's Corner. Mm-hmm. The objective of the Coach's Corner is to provide coaching education and expert views, information, oral and practical assistance while helping to educate those seeking to understand and to become actively involved in the sport of cricket nationally and internationally. A segment of the Coach's Corner will run from 15 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and will feature Jatin Patel, Cricket Hall of Famer and multi-sport coach administrator and director of the Cricket Hall of Fame. Good afternoon to you, Coach, or should I say good evening to you, Coach. Welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner.
Good evening, everyone.
Thank you. Welcome, and nice to have you back with us. Today's topic that we hope to get our teeth into deals with the subjects of plin, attitude, temperament, argumentation, and so on. We're hoping we can challenge the coach to, you know, share with us his breadth and depth of knowledge. Coach, my first question to you on the subject is this. Discipline is a word often used in many life situations. When discipline is used in cricket, what exactly is being described?
So when you say discipline, there are a variety of factors, we call it, is the falls under the discipline. But when we look at the sports and specifically for the cricket, the few discipline factors are very important. For example, the timing. Let's say if you are part of the team and coming for the practice or game, the discipline based on the timing, how sharp you are to come on time or ahead of time, which is requested by the team, means it's your determination to be part of the team and do whatever it takes under that disciplined manner. Means you are always coming or going at time or before time. That's the one part. Second thing is, when we deal with the team sports, there is a lot of procedures or protocols we have to follow that include the restrictions and the things you are allowed to do or things you are not allowed to do. So in particular, the things you are allowed to do has not much to do anything at all. But discipline takes its toll when you look at those items which says you are not allowed to do certain things. So that's another part of it, participation and engagement type of discipline. Then we have the off-the-field situation, how you get along with other players, if you are a player. And that also demands discipline. The reason for that is how you build relation and how you communicate with your teammates. Then there is a action-based discipline. Means the performance related. That includes your roles, responsibilities, and how seriously you are taking them or considering them to be part of the team. And so on. There are many other ways you can say discipline can be enforced, impacted. But discipline is the most important thing in any sport. And because of that, the coaches, management, administration, everyone is looking for higher standards in discipline. In professional cricket, this discipline can go beyond what I explained to you, which is the most commonly used at the youth level or national level. But at the international level and professional level, this discipline goes beyond those simple things we widely or commonly see. The one of those is definitely the contract and your commitment. That includes signing them on timely basis and following their contract. That takes a lot to be in a discipline. There is a procedures and the protocols need to follow by everyone in terms of the reporting or working or communicating with the team management, team administration, or board itself. And in those all situations, discipline is the key. There is also a discipline in the media matters. We have seen a lot in the past, like the players are talking something open to public and not taking the permission from the authorities, or sometimes they bypass the authorities because now they have objection and they like to blame the administration or management, something like that. And those are false under the discipline. at the same time, whatever the dispute happens or situation arises in terms of the contract or the money transaction or the normal high-level communication, those disputes are key that the discipline is followed in whatever we do. So discipline is the most important thing to be part of any team sport.
Thank you, Coach. Coach, can you coach a player to be disciplined?
Well, this discipline part is definitely a critical part, but at the same time, if the player is not mature, and if you think the player has made a mistake without knowledge, means the player is innocent. And in that situation, if the player is disciplined, yes, coaches and mentors can work around. But when you have a player who has intentionally compromised and fall off from the discipline, it will be a difficult task for anybody to coach.
So, in that regard, is it possible that lack of discipline by one team member can affect the outcome of a match?
Yes, and that is a part of the process, and now there are new laws are implemented in cricket, which is giving them then the red card, just like the soccer used to have. The soccer still has it. Once you got the red card, you are out of the action, means you have to leave the field, and your team has to play one shot. Going a little bit further on this one, cricket originally started to show this red card, just like football and soccer, to discipline the player for any wrongdoing perform on the field, I can say. Means umpire take the decision based on what they have done on the field. But then recently I see that red card is also given because of the overall team discipline matter. In coming straight to the point is the CPL situation very recently, because of the slower over rate, the team was penalized and red card was given to a player. We're not going in that discussion, but this red card situation and discipline is definitely harm the team, because as soon as someone gets the red card or discipline and not allowed to be part of that game, next game or practices, the team is going one shot. And it can definitely take a risk on the performance too. What happens if your main batter or main bowler get disciplined and your team has to go without it? The outcome can change just because of the one player discipline.
So in that light, we see how important the team situation is. But does the team discipline translate into team success?
It's a very difficult call. If the player is disciplined, single player or two, he can have options to bring them back or bounce back or fix that discipline issue, not to repeat the similar offense or avoid or prevent the future situation. But when you have team involved, it becomes very difficult, because team is not a one or two individual. We are looking at a group of people, usually in cricket it's 11. And in that situation, it's the toughest challenge for any coach or mentor or administrator or management to fix those issues.
So does the age of players or team members, their maturity and experience affect their level of discipline?
Definitely. because the players who are seniors, I'm specifically targeting a lot of legends who have played games for a longer term, means many years compared to some young ones or inexperienced players or the lower age players. They do take advantage because they know what they're doing. They know what it takes to be in the team, and they also know their roles and responsibility as well as their status. So in the sense, more the mature players we have less issues with the league.
All right, let me pause and see if there are any questions coming from any member of the panel. Any questions from anyone? Donna, Leon? Hyacinth? No, okay. Coach, I'll move on. Let's talk about attitude. Is player attitude related to their emotional state, mood state, or mental state?
The attitude can be activated or get activation through different things. But the most of the time, it does come from the mood. And it's a part of the mental situation, we call it, the mindset. And it can get disturbed. And it can definitely impact. The attitude is the one. It has a, we call it the scale, about how much tolerant you are on certain things. To give you the example is, whatever happened in a game, let's say one is a frustration. Everyone has a different limit. There are people who can get into the quickly and easily. We usually call it short temper people. And then there are some people so cool and stay calm for over a period. We label them, they are tough at mental. But in reality, it is their control over their own attitude. And that is what is holding those range, whether it's a short time or another is a longer time. And it all depends on toleration, how much or how capable you are to tolerate certain things when the thing does not go your way or the way you expected. And that is where attitude becomes a key factor. And I will say it is the first one to mark it down like any player going off the decision. It's usually start with the attitude.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Leon, do you?
Yes, wanted to chime in with a question. You know, Coach, sometimes there's need for you to really make some strong decision to discipline a player by suspending him from play for a certain length of time. He or she might have some friends also in the midst and will urge the folks to not to support you, support the captain in his moves. Now, how would you handle a situation like that?
Well, this is a part of the team building process. We call it team cohesion. In general, they call it team chemistry or team bonding. There are different ways to level. Mm-hmm. But that is the part where this situation becomes serious for the coaches and mentors to find out what the team players' behavior, especially their attitude. Number two, how they are committed in terms of their seriousness and commitment with the good attitude. That becomes more important.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that, if you have the issues with the attitude, it can be fixed. But it's not something coaches or mentors can do. It's a two-sided job. They can try their best, they can that it is possible to feel gratitude. But at the same time, the heavier side to change their attitude is the player. Are they willing to change their attitude? Are they willing to understand what they have done before they are under the disciplinary action? Which means they are penalized for something, right? And being a natural as a human, and I'm talking my soccer experience now, is dance is the healing, believe it or not. Especially in youth sports, when the player who really wants to and love to play, they don't like the bench, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So when something goes wrong, you must put them on the bench. You don't need to preach them. You don't need to talk with them. Give them some time so they can think on their own what they need for their bench. And this is the time, as I say, time is the healing on the bench. And this player, if they really want to play, they will come up with their own solution. Solution is most likely, in most cases, is a very simple. They say, hey, coach, I made a mistake. I'll make sure it will not happen. And that is probably the most of the coaches love to hear. No one out there wants to keep a player on the bench. But at the same time, we must control them. It is just like your normal life. We all drive a car on highway, right? That doesn't mean we'll be driving at the maximum speed all the time. There are surroundings, there are situations come, and during that time, we have to put the brakes and resume back to the whatever speed we can. But those are the adjustments we are making on highway. Same thing in our normal life. When the things doesn't go right, somebody has to put the brake. And that is where this discipline comes. And yes, I see that your concern. What happens if this player has a couple of teammates and wants to do support as a like a strong support just because of the fact not looking at the game situation or team situation or not even understanding why my teammate is being disciplined. If that sort of thing happens, then the first thing, in my opinion, is to take care of those people who are supporting this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know why these people are supporting right away. Right? Sometimes they may be right. What they have seen may be unfair, something biased. There's a lot of things are possible. So without knowing a root cause of the situation, it is not right way to discipline those who are supporting. Instead, find the reason why they are supporting and what is the objection, what they did not like and why they are supporting and what do you want out of it. The bottom line is what? We all get into a disagreement or oppose something for a reason, right? So in this situation, if I have to, I'll go behind those people who are supporting force to find out why exactly they are in support force. And how long they'll keep continuing. What it takes to take them out of this support and say, hey, I'm happy, coach. Now you deal with the player. And that way you are trying to eliminate the exposure in terms of more disagreements in team. And then eventually come down to the player and it can fix. So there is a like a harder time for the coaches when such situation happens because now you're dealing with multiple players, not just one player.
Dennis, allow me to just follow up a little bit on that.
Sure.
Because
yes.
Sometimes, coach, you have gotten a coach, a player that was disciplined. He's replaced by a player who was on the bench for a long time. And he was brought on the team, and he excelled. Now, how would you handle that situation? Would you bring back the player that is discipline or the player that you have replaced the disciplined player with?
It depends on the coach and team situation and about the team position in the game. Especially if you look at the soccer related, once the player is disciplined and if you see the bench player is doing a really good job, I will say most of the coaches are not concerned about the disciplined player to bring back in a quick time. Same thing with basketball, same thing you look at the football, I'm talking American football, they all follow the same. The discipline is not something can be fixed with any remedies. It's not something that player did something and you put like 15 minutes on the bench or 30 minute bench and they'll fix it. In other words, if you want this player, I'm talking the disciplined player who is on the bench, and if you want to treat them right, I will say give them time on the bench for the rest of the season, more time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same time, if you keep eye on the game and if you see the other player is doing really well for the team, you don't need to be concerned about it. And the longer the time you give them, means they have more time to think about it. And believe it or not, the disciplined player who really wants to come back, they are coming much stronger. Depends on how much time they are taking on the bench. Because they don't like the bench.
All right.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Thank you, Leon, for that. Coach, can you read a player's posture, the manner or type of dress wear as indicative of likely attitude or typical of behavior?
It is. That's called a body language. The one first indication you can see, it's definitely how they behave. Means they are actually the mental status. For example, when you see someone, if they are enjoying fun and they are happy, means they are either smiley or laughing. Simple example. They're having fun. That's why they are laughing. If someone is in a sadness, they are crying. Same thing in a sport. Their mood, their emotions, is automatically comes into a physical posture, we call it, the body language, where how they behave, how they act, or how they are responding to their teammates, or how they are in a part of the game. All sort of things you can definitely judge based on your experience and expertise, whether this player is with you 100% or having some issues and not able to tell you. And the same thing, if you look at it, the frustrated player or player is losing their mind or confidence, you can definitely see right from the body language.
All right. So in a match situation then, what would you do or what should a player do when confronted by heckling and insults from the spectators or on-field opponents?
Well, this is not something impacting your team or related to the action. Now, when you say he has some interaction with the fans, this is a completely non-action related item to me in a team sport. Means this is kind of something happened. His teammate did not do anything. Team did not do anything. Nothing he has, whatever you see, as activated by the game situation. The most likely, it's the act of the fans. Either they have done something physically, like throwing objects or something. And in most cases, they usually talk about something nonsense, let's say, to trigger the player's head, right? So in this situation, I will say discipline doesn't fit because it's not the player's fault. We all being as a human being, this thing can happen, and everyone has some sort of limit to tolerate this situation. So if that's the incident, we had it a couple of times, and I have not seen in any major sport that they have been disciplined. But looking at our NBA, some of our games in the US, if you are get into the fence, if you're leaving the field to go in the fan area, which is off the field, we call it, all can be disturbing. And it can harm you. You may be penalized for it. Because as a player, they are not allowed to go against the fans directly. Because in that situation, it's a very thin line where the player can get upset or fan can get upset and they can start a physical fight, like throwing punches or pushing each other. And those all can tolerate to the next level. And that is not good for the game. So what is need to be? I will not penalize the player. And that is what most of the high school and college sports usually coaches tell the players, not to leave the field. Anything happens, anything comes to you, you suppose not to leave the field. Stay in the field. Tell the officials what they know. If it doesn't stop there, tell the coaches what they know. And the coaches' job comes here most critical and important. If it is a high school or college level, coach will immediately talk to the AD or ground security or someone to take care of the fans. Because we don't want that situation to escalate to the next level. And when the player is getting distracted, not just distracted, now they are getting into the frustration. And that can spoil both ways. It can create a mess where the game can be stopped or may be stopped for a while. And it's not a good thing for anyone. Another way, if you look at the off-the-field side, one fan is creating the trouble for you or maybe group of fans is creating trouble. Why you want to stop the game for an entire crowd, which is all over the ground? So there is a way to handle, but coming straight to your point, I will say this is the off-the-field matter, and the players will not be penalized.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Leon, if you're listening
yes.
here, I think we've
yes.
lost.
I'm here. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I am. We've lost Virgil, so maybe you can try to reach
him. I'll try, yes. But let me try and get in this question here before it go by me. Because speaking, Coach, what is the most effective way from your experience that will prove or will remedy a situation of one who was disciplined? What is the most effective way that you have found out over your history of being a coach? What do you feel more effective?
You mean, are you trying to say what the coach will do? Or are you looking at...
No, I'm looking at the fact. Well, listen, I discipline this guy. Now, the purpose of disciplining him is to... Because you want every member of the team to be on the same playbook, right? And but this guy is going contrary to what you think were the plans of the team. But he consistently do it. How do you, as a coach, what kind of a discipline you use? What method would you use to at least solve the problem?
It's a great question. I love it. Mm. I will say, if you are coaching this team, and if you see a first offense, let's say, right? If it is a first offense, then you have a little bit work to do. Number one, in my opinion, or if I have to do is, I will give this player enough time to think on his own, which is the bench time. No need to talk, because if you are a coach and if you try to talk with this player in that particular moment, it will create arguments and disagreements, which is dragged into some sort of disagreement for sure. Either side is not getting along kind of situation. If it is the middle of the game, I will not start this conversation or communication because I have my other 10 players playing and I have few bench players which I can rotate and go for it, especially in soccer. Number two, the most important thing experienced and expert coaches is looking to is the player's ability and potential. We call it the coachable player. if the coachable player is out there and have made mistake and it is penalized, then I will say it's a time. Give them some time to think on their own. And believe it or not, it's all about self-decision-making process. Once the player realizes that person has made mistakes, the player must come to a conclusion. This was my fault. This one, what I did was wrong. Or I did not follow coach or my teammates. And that is what I'm doing. So this is a self-convinced part of this option is the best thing. You have to wait this moment. It may be 2 minutes. It may be a little bit longer. Hard punishment doesn't help anything. So it's opportunity. Number two, when the thing's going well, you must read the body language of this player who's just being disciplined. The body language is whether they are getting emotional because of this penalty situation and getting into a attitude issue, we call it, and trying to become a frustrated, anger, throwing objects, talking with a different tone or high tone with the other players, walking away from the bench. Now, these are the behaviors you have to look into because the good player will not do it. It takes time. Everyone has a reason to go mad. Everyone has a reason to be emotional situation. Everyone has a right to change their mood, but to make sure that it does not create a problem for players as well as teammates, as well as teams, and most important is the game. When this happens, the most likely problem can be solved. Number three is another option. You let it go for the rest of the game. You don't need to bring back the disciplined player into the game. Let it go. We have other players on the bench who can do the job. May not be the same job or better job than your player who is disciplined, but at least you have options. And you don't need to be too loose or flat in this discipline process. You must be a tough. The reason for that, if you really want to teach the player, you must treat. And after a time, you start communication, the clear communication. What happened? What's going on? Why we are? I'm outside the field. You are outside the field. You're supposed to be inside. But there is a reason behind it. And try to convince that these are not the right thing to do. So it's like a... depends on how you deal with the player. Sometimes you see the player is like become mad dog, that's it. He just came out of the field, start throwing things here and there, and he is just trying to start blaming other people, talking loud and screaming at others. Now this thing, you don't want to jump into to do anything. Let it go and try to keep this player away from the environment. Eventually, the good players go in a corner, take their own position, and come down on their own way. It is impossible when they are in a high tone, high temperature, highly frustrated. It's not something you can do at this point. So the coaches have a different skills and tools to deal with this situation. And most likely depends on the age. If it is a younger age, we have to be a little bit soft and flat in discipline matters because these are the learning process. But when you more go up at the higher level or mature level, yes, discipline need to be tough.
And just to follow up there a little bit, you know, normally sometimes when you have a player that is consistently disrupting and requires discipline, would it be more sometimes a better process to have a disciplinary committee handle the matter rather than the coach himself?
Yes, that is what it goes to, these investigation committees and review committees, especially in cricket. They sometimes bring a temporary panel or a small committee to oversee this situation because it is a two-side problem. Let's say if it is not a game-related or exam-related problem, it's something is happening between player and coach, and this may be on field, off the field, or something not related to this. So in this sense, you can't give a full authority to coach because he is on the one side of this issue. And that is the reason we need to have the third party to get in to understand what's going on, right? And then we can look into. I mean, if you look at a lot of sports, especially when there is a conflict of interest involved, or I will say work ethics being violated, so being unfair and biased, which is normally a case in a lot of youth sports when you have parents coaching or someone, loved one is playing and mom or dad has some sort of authority position in that game administration or management. And in this situation, it's better to have the third eye to look into and decide what needs to be done because you cannot give it to the player and coach or the administrator. It needs to be someone from outside and come out and say, hey, we reviewed it. We listen both sides. We realize what's going on. We also review the game process, protocol, conflict of interest, ethics, procedures, whatever we have. And then they need to come out with a conclusion. It may be the coach is at the fault. And in that sense, they have to talk with the coach and communicate what needs to be done and what they can do preventing in future. And from that particular moment, how they need to get going with the player because of the coach's fault. If it is a player's fault, it's a definitely coach has to sideline for some time, I will say, because he was a part of it, which is escalated to this committee or third-party solution here. And let this third party handle whatever the disciplinary actions they need to, and then try to slowly get back to normality. But then coaches has to remember and understand what happened, why it happened, and what we endured. In the sense, we are not keeping on the top of our head to penalize all the time. Give them the chance. If it is a youth, they might change. They might come back different ways. And the true thing is, like, you have to judge the situation, get the assessment, how serious this incident is in terms of the relationship, in terms of the communication, in terms of the action and scene. And you have to make wise decisions based on your assessment.
All right. George, Dennis, I think yes. You have Audley on now, so...
Yes. Okay, good evening to you, Audley. Are you, welcome back to another edition. Do you have any question for Coach at the moment?
No, good evening to you all. No.
Okay, good evening.
All right. Okay, we're still waiting for Virgil, Leon. Okay, Coach,
yes,
let me follow up with temperament. This is a term that is often used to describe moderation in, say, eating and drinking. But how is temperament related to cricket or other sports?
The most of the thing is temperament is most likely a time and scale both. Means in terms of the time, how quickly they are reacting at certain things. And if they do, what level? Now we are looking at the altitude. Sometimes it's a soft, light, sometimes it's heavy. The easiest way to say is like when someone loses temperament, it usually definitely derails a lot of things, whatever is going on in that particular moment. The temperament belongs to the players or any human, I would say, that includes coach, assistant coach, and everything. And that is the most important factor that the coaching world is serious about is how we can control that temperament and limit them from escalating the normal levels. The temperament can change for many reasons, but the good players always try to maintain the level. We cannot say that the coolest person on this planet will never get angry. But there are some get angered in like 3 seconds, 5 seconds, some might take 30 minutes. So there is a limit, we call it, and that is controlled by the temperament.
Thank you, Coach. All right. If a player has an excitable temperament, Coach, is that a factor, good or bad, for the outcome of a match?
We just talk about it. Temperament is there in every human. It's a time and what level, at what point, or in what situation the player gets into emotional or change mood and becomes mentally either unstable or momentarily in emotion, getting excited and doing something or frustrated doing something. And because of that, it becomes very important to contain the temperament. Whatever the level is, whatever the time is, if we know how to do it. And that is where the team environment comes. When we see a player get upset, we have seen in team sports their teammates or maybe the close friend who is playing with them. They are come close to and they try to calm them down or asking them for a help, whatever they need. So usually in the sport, in early stage of coaching, usually tell if something's going on in your head, the best way is get them out. Talk to your teammates, talk to your friends, talk to the coach. And that is the point you feel a little bit relief instead of you're still thinking your own way and think like you're going to have a solution. No. You have to change the mood. And there's only a way to change the mood is talk it out. Let's let it go. Don't get into the frustration. Discuss with somebody who thinks or who are comfortable with it. And that may have a solution or some suggestion to get back to normality.
All right, thanks,
we may have Virgil with us. I don't know if he... You want to try him and see?
Yes, let's see. Virgil?
Good afternoon to all the panelists and good afternoon to all the listeners all over the world. I don't want to cut you, but I'm just watching Barbados win the final, man, which is real nice.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Virgil. All right, let's go back to Coach. Coach, this is like the wrap-up question for you. Can you name one professional player whom you would describe as a disciplined player?
Again, there's a lot of factors or criteria, we call it. We can count this player in disciplined section, right? Like timing, performance, behaving, their attitude, their mentality, their mindset, their temperament, and how they get into the emotional. These are all those factors. But if you look at it, there are few outstanding players out there in cricket where they maintain this level of temperament. The key players like MS Dhoni, you can take Sachin Tendulkar, Rahul Dravid, if I had to look into the rest of you, it can be the Brian Lara and Sunaran Chandrapal. These are the two examples. What I see, in my opinion, I'm not trying to criticize anyone else, but this couple of players has a more key ingredient to stay calm and be a good sportsman and do whatever it takes to eliminate or prevent the crisis. or some issues which may cause because of the temperament, let's say this way. And at the same time, if you have performance, there are plenty of players. Forget about what they do when they are in a field. Forget about what they do when they get emotional. But they are the performers. And they do care what they do. And that means they are in a full control. I will say one example is Virat Kohli. It's absolutely awesome. You can see his mood changes. He does get emotional very quickly. He does talk his teammates. But when it comes to time, he knows what he needs to do. And then that's the beauty. There are a few players out there in West Indies too, including some ballers, especially like holding, I still remember the Malcolm Marshall. These are the people don't get into the temperament situation. The reason behind it, the most important part is, instead of getting in temperament and losing your behavior or attitude and get into a trouble or create a trouble or ignite a trouble, these are the players take a different route or approach. It is called let the experts be. Whatever they want to do it, they will prove it, what they are capable to do, and that's all it takes. You know, the one of the beautiful questions here, I can tell you one of the good example. I love this Cutley Ambrose. He was being objected for a wristband in Australia. What did he do? That was the one of the best spell he put in his life. He took those 6 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Sachin Tendulkar, I believe it was the 2002 World Cup. This, I think, South Africa or Kenyan bowler said something to him because he was out quickly in that game. And look at the next game. He put on century without talking anything. So there's a good thing is about to control your temperament and see how capable you are. Let the action speak. Whether you are a batsman or bowler, let the action speak.
Thank you so much, Coach. Once again, we've come to the end of our time. So I want to thank you, Coach, for your insights, your knowledge and experience. We invite you to join again next week at the same time, right here on The Cricket Show. There is no doubt that Coach Patel have answers to the questions that you have been asking. The question that says, how did he do that, or why did he do that? Maybe you will be saying, I am going to do that next time. Thank you so much, Coach, and we look forward to having you back with us again next week, same time, same place.
All
right.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Coach.
Now, Brother Audley, we are in the Walter Henry birthday hour, so let's turn this over to you.
Okay, I'm ready. Just give us a little more of the music. Just give us a little more of the music.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Okay, okay, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me say good evening to my fellow panelists and all the listeners throughout the world. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you. And, yeah, of course, you're listening to The Cricket Show. We are the partner where I'm about to give you the inside edge, keeping with the cricketing tradition. Did you know? You did know, say, we call it the inside edge. Did you know that West Indies played their first test match, the inaugural test match, in 1928. And since that 1928, that 320 players had represented the West Indies in test match, in cricket, 320. And have you ever thought about the makeup of the first ever side? Where were they from and so forth? So I'm going to tell you, the first 11 that ever played for the West Indies, four were from Barbados, four from Trinidad and Tobago, two from Jamaica, and one from then British Guyana, now just Guyana, one from Guyana. So that's the makeup. And just to let you know that George Chaloner from Barbados was the cricketer who faced the first ball in Test cricket for the West Indies. All right?
Yes, sir.
We have here for you the inside edge. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Walker Henry birthday and anniversary hour. It's the time of the evening when we take a look at the cricketing fraternity and we say, hey, how are you? And we say, it's time for you to call in. It's 515-605-9850. 515-605-9850. And as we go along, we'll give you the occasional footnote, yes, as we run along. Today, of course, is the 10th of September, 2 days after Mr. Francis' birthday. But, of course, in the Ivor Henry's tradition, we're going to have, he's going to be celebrating for the entire month. No, I know he's not going to have all his family like yesterday and the day before for the entire month, but he's going to continue celebrating. All right? He's been having what we call a catawampus time. Oh, time that is too good to be described.
Yes.
All right, so here we go. Today being the 10th of September, I just want to give a shout-out first before I go to Brother Cardinal Mills. He has been under the weather, and we thought, as a matter of fact, most of us thought that the COVID was gone and never to return. But as it is right now, he is having some problem with the COVID. Last week was even the past week was even worse than the week before. But we prayed some prayer, serious prayer went down for him here yesterday on the Saturday morning entertainment program. And of course, we all are doing the same for your brother Cardinal. Hope you are doing much, much better. Okay, birthdays. Today we have Tamika, friend of Virgil, yeah? She's having a birthday today. And we look at other birthdays. Golfer Arnold Palmer, who was the first golfer to make $100 million, to make $1 million playing golf. He's been playing for a long time. He was born 1925. He left us 2016. When he died, he was the richest golfer still because of endorsement, Arnold Palmer. Okay, other birthdays we have TV host Bill O'Reilly, the factor. You know the factor, Bill O'Reilly. Yes, Bill O'Reilly turns 74 today. He's 74 today. Puerto Rican singer Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad. You all remember that one, Feliz Navidad. We should be singing it as a matter of fact. Jose Feliciano, yeah, he is 78 today. Actor Kate Burton, or actress Kate Burton from Scandal, 66. Contemporary gospel singer Sarah Groves, she's 51 today. Mr. Roger Maris, he was the record, he held a record for a long time in Major League Baseball, hitting some 61 home runs in the series until it was broken, Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa when they had this duel. And, of course, American athlete Jim Hines, also, Prince Jim Hines. Yes, he celebrates a birthday today. Misty Copeland, she's a dancer, first African-American dancer to dance in the American Ballet Theater. Yes, indeed, she is. And I think that's what we have where the celebrity. Oh, Randy Johnson, Yankee pitcher. Giant of a guy, 6'10". Yeah, he is a Hall of Famer when it comes to Major League Baseball. And he turns 60 today. All right, cricket. Manish Pandey from India. Jaden Seals out of Trinidad and Tobago. Ewan Morgan from England. Asad Ali from Bulgaria. Mohammed Akram from Pakistan, and Mir Hazam, an umpire out of Pakistan as well. Henning Daisy from Oman. Belinda Clark, who held the world record for the high score in ODI for a long time when she made 227 against Denmark back in 1997, but it has since been broken by little Miss Carr out there from New Zealand. And we have Nicola Carey also from Australia. Nicola Payne from New Zealand. Jonathan Sabanga from Uganda. Charlie Locke from Zimbabwe. Lockhart Tucker out of Ireland. And Nasser Jamali from the United States. For the 11th, now let us remember tomorrow is September 11, 911. And believe it or not, it will be 22 years. And do you remember what you're doing when the news came? Were you shocked? And I tell you. Okay, so we come back to that. Cardinal's son, I think, was born or he died. I'm to clear that up, on the 11th of September. And I'll get that cleared up with Cardinal. Mr. Francis had a brother that died on the 11th of September. So he has his 9/11. Chris Gayle made his debut versus India back in 1999 on 9/11. And Jack Tripper, remember Jack Tripper from Three's Company? With Mr. Furley? Yeah, Jack Tripper. He died 2003, and I can't imagine it's been 20 years. I'm really getting old. I mean, I remember when the news came and we're saying, Jack died? It's been 20 years. Wow. The time just went by like that. Toots Hibbert from out of Jamaica, Mr. Sweet and Dandy, Mr. Festival himself. Toots Hibbert, he died, it will be 3 years, 2020 he died, so it will be 3 years tomorrow. Peter Tosh, who can forget Peter Tosh, when he was killed by Dennis Laban, along with Free Eye, Jamaican disc jockey. We knew him for a long time as Jeff Dixon, but he changed his name to Free Eye Rasai, a whole heap of something, then Kapari Eye. But same person. He was killed in the same incident when they were murdered at Peter's house. And another brother, they call him Doc. They were all killed at 9/11. Sad news. All right, so back to cricket. Derek Seeley, out of Barbados, the youngest cricketer ever to play for the West Indies. He was 17 years and 122 days. And at the time when he broke that record, Sobers was second, and Sobers came in second, 17 years, 245 days. So he still holds the record. Derek Seeley out of Barbados, and he was a wicket keeper. Oscar De Costa out of Jamaica also will share the same birthday. Lala Amanat from India made the first century for India in Test cricket, and he also has two sons, Surinder and Mohinder Amanat, that also represent India in Test cricket. Malari Kartik, and we have two umpires, Verninder Sharma and Vineka Kolarani. Those two umpires also will be celebrated. Henry Cooper from Australia. Notice I say Australia because if you're saying it's the boxer Henry Cooper from England, but it's a cricketer, Henry Cooper. And we have Alexis Karzi from out of the Netherlands. Then we have Darren Ramsamy and Durant Suffering from out of Canada. Okay, for September 12th, Sir Wesley Hall. Yes, he will be celebrating his 86th birthday. Sir Wesley Hall, come the 12th. Anita Sharma, female cricketer from out of India. Waqar Hassan and Rahat Ali from Pakistan. Natal Becknell and Max Walker from Australia. L. Anderson Markram, Richard Snell out of South Africa. Dean Kotze from the Netherlands. No, from Namibia, sorry. And we have Shehan Jayasuriya out of Sri Lanka and Anna Patterson from New Zealand. For the 13th, we have Ryan Hurley from Barbados, Dan Van Fagan from Jamaica, England, Percy Jones, also plays rugby for England. Robin Smith and Arthur Mitchell. Shane Warne from Australia. Craig McMillan from New Zealand. Cecil Marshall from the West Indies. He plays for Canada, but was born in Trinidad and Tobago. And Barry McCarthy from Ireland. For the 14th of September, we have Mark Hall from the gospel group Casting Crowns. I ought to get some of Casting Crown music. Very good contemporary gospel music. When it comes to cricket, we have Emir Richardson from Ireland, Dave Smith, Jeff Numblett, Cecil Langley, Kepler Whittles, and he represents both Australia and South Africa, but in the capacity as an Australian now. Patrick Gustard out of Jamaica, who is an umpire. We have Herbie Wade, Robert Harvey from South Africa, Jeff Crowe, Brandon Bracewell, and Nicola Brown, all from New Zealand, Charles Marriott, and Paul Allott from England, Amir Sohil, Amin Anwar, who's a female cricketer out of Pakistan, Robin Smith, that was born in Trinidad, Robin Smith, but he represents, I played cricket for India, one test match and 136 ODIs. And we have Sirakumar Yadav, number one in T20 cricket right now, the batsman, Sirakumar Yadav. He also will be celebrating on the 14th. And Michael Rippon from South Africa and the Netherlands represent both countries. For the 15th, we have Daddy Franklin Brown, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We know Dana and Ivor and, you know, those people, relatives and, nephews and daughters and everybody. It's a big celebration. This one, we just have to say big up to Daddy Brown over there in Nevis. And they'll be having a big thing. At least I think it got started already. You know, knowing Ivor, it's not going to be just one day. It's going to be a continuous thing. All right, so Daddy Brown, when it comes, 15th, happy birthday to you. We're sending it right now. Hope you'll have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful birthday when it comes. So we have cricket now. We have Patrick Rambo Patterson out of Jamaica, Michael Joy Carew from Trinidad and Tobago, and Leverage, Reynard Revledge out of Jamaica. Cecil Piper, Philip Parker-Lee, and John Maguire from Australia, Richard Webb, Nathan Astell, and Emily Durham from New Zealand, Abdul Qadir, the Magnificent, out of Pakistan, Mike Proctor from South Africa, Steve Watkins from England, Saeed Wizar Ali from India. And then finally on Statue Day, we have Dick Young from England, along with Mickey Stewart. He also played soccer for England. Robert Graham and David Richardson from South Africa. John Tremble, Roger Woolery, and Nordy Meadows. He's a sports writer, all from Australia. Barrington Brown out of Guyana. And then we have Gavin Hamilton from Scotland, Cornelius Harvey from Canada, Susie Bates out of New Zealand, and Pamela Blatt, female cricketer out of India. That's what we have here for Ellen. Leah, back to you.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Audley. Now, let me go first with my birthday situation, because I got one of the best birthdays I've ever had. Apart from when I got married, this was perhaps the greatest day in my life. I got the shock of my life. My daughter, first of all, she invited me to accompany her in Orlando. She was doing a course, and she wanted me to come. So she, paid for me, put me up in a Hyatt Regent Hotel, and it was exceedingly great. And most of all, I went to Bahama Breeze. And go, guys, I recommend this. The painkiller is a drink. It's not too alcoholic. It's not too too soft, but it's just a mild drink. And if that were not enough, well, my I met some of my relatives and friends there. They came to see me and invited me over for at least we took them out to dinner the first night, and then the second night they invited me over to get some of the real Antigua cooking, oddly, some fish and kunk. You call it a fungi, and that went down well. Yeah, and when the conference was over, we had a wonderful time. I came home. To my surprise, my daughter said to me, "You got to put on your clothes, right? I got to take you out." They took me to a resort area, an island off the coast of Florida. Okay, and we went down there and spent, to my surprise, when I opened the door, all my relatives were there. Surprise!
Surprise!
And I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And that made me happy, and I am so appreciative of that. I met two of my nieces, a niece and a nephew, which I want to point out to you folks. Brianna Mayers, she has just graduated with her master's, and she has been accepted to work with the federal government. So she was just on her way home, and then a few days' time she'll be going over to take up her new appointment. So I'm so proud of her, because I hadn't seen her since my son's death, and I was glad to see her again. Then I learned out I have a young nephew, or great nephew. His mother is my niece. And he is Aidan Francis. And he had a birthday 2 days before me, or a day before me, as a matter of fact, a day before me. Aidan Francis. And he is a track star, at least, in the making. He runs all the distance, at least the 100, the 200, the 400, and the 800. So I just hope that he will come out to be something good. So it was such an awesome time to meet them, and I was so glad because I had hugs and kisses and love. My daughter decorated the place nicely. I say happy birthday, and I have pictures in galore that which I'll post on. But it was so great a feeling, experience, you know. And, you know, the resort is St. George's Island, just off the coast, the tip of the Mexico, and you see Mexico. And the sand was just like if it were in Antigua or in the islands. And when you the Airbnb that was rented was, you could hear the splash of the water coming into the all night. And I saw one of the most beautiful sight of the moon setting and rising. And that was so good. So I'm glad to be alive, and I thank them, especially my daughter Josette and my other daughter Leslie, my niece Joanne Mayers, and of course Fiol. They were all there. Fiol Knight, she was there, and all the others. My grandson was there. He had to work, but he came, and we had a wonderful time. It was a joy and pleasure to be alive at this time, and I'm grateful. I don't think I'll have another one like that, but it is such a joy and happiness, a great feeling to be among your relatives. And best wishes for coming over from all over. Even Hyacinth didn't go to sleep until she sent me one. So thank you all, and thanks everyone. And yes, I mean, on Saturday, well, Ivor did a number that I can never forget, because he devoted a most real part of his show, a long part of his show, to pay tribute to me and birthday wishes. So I'm grateful. And I just want to say thanks to everybody who really reached out to me, and I get numerous texts and emails and postings were all over. So I'm glad and thankful. My church here in Crawfordville, and my former church in Miami also sent out greetings to me on my birthday. So I was very, very happy. And thanks for the show as well, because Dennis was on the show, and he too Shield, and I've gotten calls from Audley and many of the other panelists, and I'm so happy for that. Thank you all so very much. It was a joy, a pleasure, and I really, really feel appreciated. So that's my part. Anyone who wants to come in first, want to call Hyacinth? Hyacinth, you have anything to say about your birthday and in mind or anything you want to bring out to the panelists?
Hyacinth
is not with us.
She needs to start drinking coffee instead of tea.
All right.
Well, keep her up.
while you're trying to answer, Leon, let's see. Virgil, what about the birthdays? Virgil? Virgil is not with us either. He's celebrating. Donna, are you with us?
No, I'm sorry. I was muted. I just want to say, Mr. Francis, happy belated birthday. And I know you say you enjoy it, and I wish you all the best. Many more to come. But I'm glad that your family take you out like that and give you a birthday that you will never forget. So just, it's already gone, but keep all that memories until you can't keep it no more and just enjoy the rest of the days to come. And,
Thank you.
Tamika, I just want to tell you, wish you a happy birthday today. Wish you all the best. She's a woman cricketer, but she don't play no more. She used to play for a team in New York. They used to come down to Florida, but they doesn't come no more. And she doesn't really play no more. It's a peace bowler. So I just want to wish her all the best on her birthday and many more to come.
Thank you, Virgil. Yes. Donna, are you listening? Donna, any birthday?
Yes, Donna, please. I'm here. Yes.
Go right ahead. Birthday.
Yes, it's my dad's birthday on Friday. He's going to be 95 years old.
95.
Oh,
so I want to send
Dad.
Out special greetings to him. My brother Ivor is down there to celebrate with him, and my brother Dr. Roger Brown will be joining as well this week, okay?
All right. Thank you, Donna.
All right.
Donna. All right. Let's see. Hyacinth, are you back with us yet?
No.
I think she's
probably
muted.
She may have to.
Okay.
She may have to redial in again. Hyacinth, if you're listening to us, you may want to redial in. Okay. Redial in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Leon has done his. I think Hyacinth's listening because she looks like she's about to. Leon has said his piece, wonderful birthday greetings from the rest of us. And okay, Hyacinth is back, it looks like. Let's see if she's hearing us. Hello, Hyacinth.
Hello, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I
can hear you quite clear.
Yes. I've been hearing you all the time.
Oh, well, we weren't hearing you. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I've got like two great nieces.
Mm-hmm.
One was one's tomorrow, and the other one is the 13th.
Wow.
And on the 14th, we'll make a year since my brother passed, Keith.
Keith.
It's a year since he passed. So those are my... So these two birthdays are his grandchildren, two of his grandchildren. So one's the 11th and one's the 13th.
Give us the name of the two grandnieces.
So, sorry, it's not, I said two granddaughters. Not one is 11. Her name is Amira. Amira, Matthew.
Mhm.
And the other one.
And what date was it again? Her birthday.
On the 11th.
Tomorrow.
December.
Tomorrow, 9/11.
9/11. She's 9. Yeah, and she's Amira, and the other one is on the 13th. Sorry, he's a boy. He's Elijah.
Okay, like my grandson. My grandson is Elijah.
No, he's Elijah.
S-H. Mm-hmm.
Elijah. And, And on, I think he's 13. And on the 14th, it's a year since my brother passed, Keith Matthew.
Keith, my good friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's my lot.
Okay, that looks like that. Then I have no birthdays. Go ahead,
somebody. Can I just Yeah, can I just say I forget my one of my best friends from since 1987 I met down here. His son, he called me like 3 days ago and told me his son got knocked down and killed by a truck. His father's name is Lou, F-E-H-E-R, I think it's Pierre. His son name is Louis, and he passed away like about 3 days ago. So I just wanted to say my condolence to my friend Lou to losing his only son. Wish him all the best in what he's going through right now.
From all of us.
Condolences.
Yeah, from the cricket show. From the cricket show.
Okay, Brother Audley. Take it away, Robert.
All right. I remember Mr. Francis made some remarks. I'll try to paraphrase because I think he was saying, like, it's stop counting birthdays or it's too much. And I'm telling you.
I used to say, I can't remember when I was that age.
You know, and I'm saying after this, the description that he, you know, gave the ball by, the blow-by-blow thing, you know, running commentary. I think he for the rest of the month, yes, we know that, but then he'll have to plan one for the 8th of October, too.
Yeah,
man, that was good. That was good. You know, happy birthday, of course, belatedly. We talked already, and you know, so just as it, you know, it's good when you have families around, and you know, from the, you know, siblings and everybody coming like that, and you know, the surprise, you know, surprise and stuff like that. You live for things like those, you know. So very good, very good. I'm happy you really had a good time and continue as a matter of fact to have a good time. All right, so my birthday I have is my bishop's wife, Esmond Beeson, sister Esmond Beeson, on Friday. She will be celebrating, and also my sister-in-law, Valerie Campbell, my children's aunt. She will be celebrating also on the 15th of that is Friday. They'll be celebrating along with Daddy Brown, of course. And Mr. Francis, one, you know, a man was asked, you know, after he was up in age, and somebody said to him, "Hey, you ought to act your age." The man answered and said, "Look, how can I ask my age? I've never been this old before. So what am I gonna ask?" I've never been this old before. So no. Don't let anybody tell you about at your age. Just you know, you've not been.
A strange thing happened to me in church last Sunday. My daughter told them my age.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor said to me, "How old are you now?" So I told him. Give him the answer so he can solve it. How many you can solve if I tell you it's 28? I'm backwards. Yes, indeed. So that's why I often say, whenever one of you guys say your age, I say, "Man, I can't remember when I was that young." Anyway, thank you guys for a wonderful show.
Wrap it up, Audley, please.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
so,
a little song for me and the others, all who are celebrating birthdays, Audley. Are you through with your section? Oh, no.
Yeah,
you want me to
I'm
do it after?
Man, so,
okay.
Play the song, then we'll wrap up afterwards.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, gosh. I'm at the end.
Cause I'm just so high.
well, that was how we ended. I did not know, oddly, that she also sings soca too. She was singing soca. They walked with their jukebox and playing some soca. And Fiol was very good. Thanks a lot.
And I'm telling you, I'm gonna call one of your daughters and find out if you're dancing those soca. Because
they have me recorded. Ivor had me on a Saturday dancing with my daughters. And I was dancing.
I'm glad
to be alive, man. Many people aren't as old as I am and have left us. So I'm grateful for the time I have on this earth. Don't know how much longer I'll be here, but I'm enjoying it to the max.
Right. So what I was about to say, you know, because I don't know if you dance those soukas, you came back from that birthday celebration on a crutch, or two crutches.
Yeah, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yes.
Indeed.
All right. So
okay, take it away.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary, our extended version, of course. So join us next week, just about 7 o'clock in the evening, when we'll do it all over again, the Walter Henry Birthday and Anniversary Hour. Back to you, right, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay.
Fellow, go ahead.
We are pleased to announce a new structure, a new addition to the cricket shows. And today we are happy to announce Focus on the Law and the first edition, very first out the door, will be presented to us tonight by Hyacinth.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Ms. Hi.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're still listening to The Cricket Show.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Hyacinth Christian. My name this evening is to The Cricket Show is normally to inform, to educate, and entertain. And today we are touching on the laws of cricket, with our main focus being the spirit of the law. So, spirit of the law. The term spirit of the game is most important in cricket, and therefore it is important to remember that the spirit of the game embodies all the laws of cricket. All players and officials involved in the game have a duty and responsibility to remember the importance spirit of the game. All have responsibility to ensure that the spirit of fair play rests with each one. However, there are laws that place the responsibility of fair play in the hands of the match captains. Is the responsibility of the captain to always foster the spirit of the game by ensuring fair play? Spirit of the game requires players to accept the law of the game without criticizing by words or actions the decisions of an umpire. According to the laws, the umpires judge fair and unfair plays, and they are required to take actions to provide time wasting, damage to the pitch, dangerous bowling, ball tampering, and any other actions that may result in unfair play. It is in the spirit of the game to respect your opposing players, the umpires, the long tradition and local customs of the game, and it includes respect for your own captain and teammates. The spirit of the game requires players to accept the umpire's decision, not use abusive or swear words at any player or officials. tin, ball tampering, and appealing for decisions, knowing clearly that the batter is not out. This is against the spirit of the game. So is distracting a batter with words or noise. And absolutely, any act of violence or discrimination, regardless of where the act is directed or whether on, off the field, is strictly against the spirit of the game. Everyone involved in the game has a duty and responsibility to always remember the spirit of the game. Well, this is just telling a little bit about some of the laws of cricket, focusing on the spirit of the game.
Thank you so much, Hyacinth, for reminding us, those of us who love the game so much and who play the game as well, of the spirit of the game of cricket. There's a focus on the laws of cricket, which is part of our new addition to the subjects of the cricket show. Any comments from anyone? Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead first, Audley, because I wanted to say a thing or two as well, too. Thank you so much for that. Go ahead.
I'm saying I have the laws of cricket here on my app on the phone, but after listening to that British accent, I'm not gonna read it from my app again. I'm gonna be listening to the laws in the British accent. That is great.
No, that's there's laws, but there is spirit as well. Sometimes the spirit, you know, the laws are there, but sometimes the spirit depends on the game you're playing.
Yes.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Liam? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Hyacinth. I really appreciated your presentation. But just, it has to be borne in mind, folks, that in the 1900s, two distinguished MCC members, and they were also ex-England captains. In Ted Dexter, I'm sure you guys might have heard of Ted Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Lord Colin Cowdrey. I thought he was a knight.
Cowdrey. CC,
yeah.
He was upgraded.
Yeah, it was upgraded, yes. But, yes, and they are the ones who sought to make the spirit of the games, a preamble to the laws. And it is important that they fought, and then eventually in 2000, they added this code to the laws. So they always are, any laws that have been seen after the 2000 edition of the laws of the game were included the preamble or the spirit of the game.
Yeah.
But Hyacinth, you did a great job. Congratulations. And it set a high mark for others to follow. Thank you so much.
I'm laughing because I said to my daughter, what do I know about cricket? But then I thought of Dennis and what he normally says. Like at the end of when the coach is finished. But I said to a joke, but I can do it and I will do it.
All right.
So I focus on Dennis's words. I don't know anything about you, but I can do it and I will do it.
All right.
So
excellent.
I went to work.
We really appreciated it. Any other comments on the spirit of the game presentation? And I hope Donna's listening next week. She's in the hot seat. Okay. Any other comments on the spirit?
Virgil?
Nope. All right. Virgil's gone back to watching cricket again. All right.
Yeah, he's still analyzing the loss from Guyana losing that game.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. Somebody has a comment.
No. Okay.
I was just thinking today. I was watching cricket, and they was having like presentation to both outstanding someone watching cricket, and then I thought of Virgil with all his paraphernalia. So it might be him. But no, he wasn't in Guyana. He wasn't.
Right.
Where are they playing? Trinidad.
They're playing in Trinidad, yes. No.
Trinidad. So I thought, no, it's not Virgil. So he
Virgil,
might get that at one day.
Your reputation precedes you, Virgil. Did you hear that? No. All right.
Yeah.
Well, somehow, you know what, Leon Bird, we've just lost Virgil. He's just dropped out of sight.
Oh,
can
okay.
you see if you can
oh, yes, let me
find
back
him back?
Now. Oh, yes, he's dropped. Yeah.
In the meantime, we'll continue with the rest of the program. And at the top of the list, we have an obituary, which is the CWI Cricket West Indies pays tribute to former West Indies players Peter Lashley and Tony White. And the Cricket West Indies today, meaning on September the 7th, paid tribute
can
to
you hear
Patrick.
Me now?
Yes,
we
can hear you
now.
Yeah, look, I don't want to cut you, but what happened? I don't know what went wrong, but I can hear you, but nobody could hear me.
Yeah.
So I was sending them back. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but I don't know what went wrong, but it normally happened on my phone.
All right.
Thanks.
Anyway, we got you back. And we were asking at the time if you had any comment on the spirit of the game presentation from Hyacinth.
No, I'm going to say like, probably I'm going to say something, Hyacinth. If you was my age, I would have just married you just for the accent.
No, bigger me.
Do you have your umbrella? Do you have your umbrella?
There you go.
I was not in Trinidad. But next time you might see me. Next time I see.
Okay.
I hope I can be down there next time when they're playing the CPL. You never know.
All right.
So back to our tribute to former West Indies players Peter Lashley and Tony White. Cricket West Indies paid tribute to Lashley and White, former West Indies and Barbados player who passed away recently. Lashley, a stylish left-handed batter, made his test debut in the famous tied test against Australia at the Gabba in Brisbane in December 1960. He played four test matches with his final one against England at Headingley in 1966. Lashley's first class career spanned almost 20 years, where he played 85 matches, scoring 4,932 runs, including a top score of 204. Following his retirement from the game, Lashley served in many roles as an administrator in Barbados. He was a national selector, coach, and member of the board of management of the Barbados Cricket Association. While he was an attacking middle-order batter and bowled medium pace as well as off-spin, he toured England in 1963 and played two test matches. White, my apologies, that should have read Tony White. He was an attacking middle-order batter and bowled medium pace as well as off-spin. He toured England in 1963 and later played two test matches against Australia in 1965. He top-scored with 57 not out on debut at Sabina Park to help West Indies to victory. His first-class record includes 31 appearances with just under 1,000 runs and 95 wickets. So that was the tribute to Tony White and Peter Lashley from Cricket West Indies. Any comments, reminders from the panel on these two gentlemen?
Let me come in on that one.
Go ahead.
Say Peter Lashley was one of the a part of the puzzle. When the West Indies were looking for an opening batsman to accomplish Conrad Hunt. Remember, Ethan McManus was among those, and, you know, other guys, like, just like the time when Alistair Cook, now Sir Alistair Cook,
you know, was a dominant opener for England, and you have some 12 other batsmen or batter trying to fill the gap to become his permanent partner. But, yes, so Lashley fell into that category. And he is one of those that, well, I think he was a left-handed batter, right?
Lefty.
Yes, he was. When they say Peter Lashley, that always remind me also of a guy named Raul Branca, who was, you know, real solid. And as it turns out, he did not have a very long test career, but he played 4 test matches, and he, of course, among the immortals, the fact that he... Tony White was Tony. Who was he? The one that was involved in the tie test, Peter Lashley as well.
Peter might have been in the tie test.
Oh, okay, but he played
in Brisbane in 1960.
65.
That's around the time that the tie test took place, right?
Yeah.
Around 60,
yeah.
61. Mm-hmm. So he might have been.
He was a distinguished gentleman, and the fact that you know, he stayed around, he made a lot of runs in the Caribbean tournament and stuff like that. So all we have to say is may his soul rest in peace. And his family. We send condolences to his family as well.
Yes, indeed. You know, as a left-hander, Dennis, I always follow the exploits of Peter Lashley, you know. And I used to be a lefty myself, so.
Oh.
They're great players out of Barbados. And, of course, I think he was one who, I think he hit a 6 off the first ball he received. I'm not too sure, but I think I heard something like that. But he made some 132 runs in his first-class runs. And he played some 85 matches. Didn't play a lot of test matches, though. But he
just
was...
Just four.
Yeah,
four
test matches round about it, yes. Yeah,
but he's one of the 320 that I spoke about this evening that represent West Indies in test match.
To represent West Indies in test match when you had so many great players around that era, you know, is a tribute, you know, because... They wouldn't look outside of Barbados and the other three big countries, kind of Trinidad and Jamaica.
And Jamaica,
so to make the West Indies side, it was a great achievement. And we just say, may his soul rest in eternal peace. And he's gone to a better place, they say. No one has ever come back and tell us how the other side looks, but people keep saying he's gone to a better place. I know for sure there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, and there will be many laughter and joy and happiness. And probably they might be saying to me...
Let's put it this way, the wheat and the tears stay together until the day of harvest, the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. Coach, any comments there for us on either of these two deceased gentle cricketers?
No, I'm not aware of these two gentlemen.
I read that
news. That's all the information I know. You already spoke about it, so nothing much to add.
All right. Well, let's pause and welcome Simon. Simon, come in. Good evening and welcome back.
Good evening to you, President.
Yes,
Leon,
good evening.
And good evening to you, Dennis. Audley, Donna, Mertris, Virgil, Mr. Patel, Jetna, if you're listening, if you're back, Ivor, Mr. McKenzie, and all our wonderful listeners all over the world, have a wonderful, wonderful week, all, and be safe. And I can't forget my good friend Virgil, my neighbor.
Did he bring any mangoes this year?
That is for good reason.
He said it should be there this year. But so happened in our neighborhood, about 4 or 5 houses south of us, they had so many mangoes, and they just fell every morning. We went walking, we picked them up, and the man said, take as many as you want, we don't eat them.
Wow. Oh dear. That had to be an American. That had to be an American because you know, it was mango. But, no, the mango tree didn't bear this year, which was. But I'm in the process of cutting it down because it's doing damage to my sewage line. So.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
What do you think that from your neighbor?
Yes, we had about 4 or 5 houses south of us. He bears so many mangoes every morning. The tree under the tree is covered, and you have to get there early before the squirrels get to them, because the squirrels want the fresh ones. They don't want the stale ones on the ground. The fresh ones that just fall. A basket every morning. And what Mama does, she peels them and she puts them in the freezer.
All right.
That's good.
Okay. Simon, are you...
Mr. Patel still online?
Yes, he is. Go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Patel, I just want to tell you congratulations on your granddaughter. She did wonderful in the CPL down here. Whether it's your granddaughter, yes or no, she have your last name. So she did wonderful. I think she get 9 wickets. So we can all celebrate that.
All right.
Churchill, for your information, Mr. Patel had a team. With every one of the team had his surname.
Well,
every
that's what
player,
I know.
1 to 11
had his surname. So I have to give you the credit for that. So, but she did good, man. She did good.
You have to make
actually,
sure 19, it's Patel 19
years
Patel, old, you know, because there's a difference of fans.
Huh?
Yeah. You have to make sure that you're Patel and you're Patel.
Okay. Oh, but here what happened.
That's close enough.
Just one word different because my name is V-E-R and my son is V-I. We pronounce the same thing. So even though it's a little word out, it's still the same thing. It's still family.
All right. Simon, do you have a question ready for us?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm here.
All right. You ready for us with your question?
Quite ready, yes. Hold on, please, there. Quite ready with question in hand. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and question for tonight. And tonight is the 10th of October. I'm thinking about Christmas already. 10th of September, gentlemen and ladies. Okay, question for the night is, which country holds the record for the highest number of runs scored in an inning in test? This is test now. Which country? And second part of that question, how many runs did that country score?
Okay.
I'm guessing England, 1127.
This is in a test now, we're talking about test.
I said, years ago they used to play test matches over a number of days, so they never limit them to 5 days. So I'm just guessing 1127.
They were called timeless tests, timeless matches.
Yeah, And say England too. And say England. I'm just guessing that.
Okay,
so,
thank you,
someone might have the right answer, but
that's why we're here to learn from each other. You know the game so well. And all the listeners and all that, they learn from us. Okay, Mr. Patel, you always get the answers. What's your answer?
950, Sri Lanka score against India in Colombo, 1997.
Wow.
We cannot forget as the Indian nightmare.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
952
that's why you are coach. Okay.
And
let's
at the same time.
Let's hear from Virgil. Virgil?
I'm going to say 950. I'm going to copy somebody. I think I remember seeing that game in about. I couldn't remember nothing about that. 950? That's a lot of one. But I was saying 8 something, but I'm going to go with the Patel and say 950 with Sri Lanka.
Okay, thank you so much.
But he said 952, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you.
The 950.
Let's hear your answer.
Oh, who was that?
Let's hear your answer, Mr. President.
No, I said 1127.
Okay. And Audley always gets the answers. What's your answer, Audley?
No, I go with Mr. Patel. I remember that's the same match where somebody made a triple century, Jawadini or some
no,
Jayasurya.
Jayasurya who made 340, right. And the Mahanama made 225, and that's a world record partnership of 576.
I got it.
Yeah,
that record. What about the ladies? The ladies want to have a crack at it? Ladies, you want to have a crack at it?
Okay, Donna.
No,
I give everyone
not
a fair chance. I'm not leaving anyone out.
Most
everyone
so,
a fair chance to get the answer.
What was your
No,
response?
I have no clue, Mr.
No clue.
You learn tonight. That's why we're on the show.
Guess.
From each other.
You can just guess.
9:50.
Donna, anything I said, you say too.
Don't feel bad because I have no clue either, Donna. You're in good company. I haven't got a clue. So
me too.
Yeah.
But I just guess. Neither me.
I don't know.
So Simon looked like he stumped us. You want to take a guess on Hyacinth?
Okay. Okay, 800.
Yeah, give us your best guess. Give us your best guess.
800. Simon, 800.
100. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Eight.
And you want to tell us which countries? Guess.
India.
Okay.
Sri Lanka versus India. It was against India, Sri Lanka.
Okay.
No,
that's
a pussy
India. Okay.
Anyone else, Mr. President? Anybody else?
No. Everybody else is there. Give us the answer, Simon.
Ready for
Simon,
the answer?
Yeah.
Answer for tonight is, this comes from the London book, cricket book, ICC cricket book, my son sent me, and he says here that the high scores in a test match, 952 for 6, declare Sri Lanka versus India.
Okay.
That's what my book says. No, I didn't write it.
No, that's okay.
Well, coach has the answer, right?
Well, I was close enough. I said 950.
Okay, right. That's what I said.
What your book says for the second highest score? Your book says for the second highest score.
952 or 953?
We are here to learn from each other. That's why we come on the show.
Huh?
From each other. How about this great cricket?
952, he says.
952.
Yeah, 952.
Oh, 952
for 6. Yeah, 952 for 6 declared.
Yes.
For 6 declared.
1997, Colombo, Sri Lanka against India.
Okay, who's going to give me a hard question tonight?
And Mahanama was 225. And partnership of 576.
So, Patel, who's going to give me a hard question tonight? Like how many players on a team?
No, okay. Who have the most triple centuries? A triple century or double century? Double century. In test cricket.
Are you asking about the country or the individual?
No, double century.
Yeah, for the individual or for a country?
No,
individual.
Who have the most double century in a test match?
Individual, Simon.
Individual?
Sachin? Tendulkar?
Yeah.
Nope.
I'll have to go with Tendulkar.
Nope.
I know, I just guess.
All right. What
I have to
one?
Go with Sachin Tendulkar.
Anybody with another suggestion for Simon? Nope. All right. Simon, looks like you're hanging dry today. All right. Give us the answer, Virgil, and let's move on.
Where you from? South Africa? South Africa, you from?
What is your name?
The all-rounder? All-rounder?
No. No, the only man that have an average of about 90-something or 100.
All right.
That was Bradman.
We are Bradman. Mm-hmm. Don Bradman have 99 points something.
I think 11 double century. 11, yes.
Okay. Right.
And the other
so
one
much.
Under him, the other one under him was Sangakkara and then Lara.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Before we move on, let's ask Donna if she can tell us what the current score is in the very, very We're talking about the CPL match in progress now. What's the score?
Okay, it just started at 8 o'clock. The St. Lucia Kings are 2 without loss.
2 without loss. Thank you.
Who are they playing against? St. Lucia against
the Trinidad and Tobago Knight Riders.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
so I'm going to be short. I'm going to short for St. Lucia.
Because I'm closer to the Caribbean than you.
Somebody has a radio in the background there.
Maybe you're ahead of me.
Yeah, because no,
okay.
I'm closer to the Caribbean than you, so the satellite is getting me first.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Okay. So.
Okay, that's good. Now it comes up here, 7 without loss.
Right. Thank you. Let's look at a quick review, perhaps, or comments on the current state of the current men's CPL. Anyone? Leon,
and well, you know, Djokovic just won his 24th Grand Slam.
Oh, yes, that good news. Good news for the young man.
Oh.
Yes.
And Coco.
He beat Medvedev in three straights. And Coco Gauff, I'm so happy for her. She got her first yesterday.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So
coming from one set down.
And did England win? And did England win the World Basketball Championship, or they came second?
Well, we know the United States didn't win.
Yeah, they didn't win.
We're sure for that one.
Yeah.
Germany, I think, came to that one.
They were beaten by Germany. They were
Okay.
Germany.
All right.
Okay.
And
so,
you know something? A lot of players, the top class players, didn't go.
I know.
Yeah. And what can the association do anything about that?
You play with the team you have. Sure.
Can I just insert something here? Can I just insert something?
Somebody has some
radio.
Radio in the back. Somebody has a radio in the back. Can you kindly turn it down?
Radio
because it's feeding back.
And it's coming right through. Yeah.
Got it. Let's move on.
Yes, but let me say something here. Noah Niles was talking about the NBA winning NBA championship, we call it the world championship. At the same time, they were making noise and trying to beat down Noah Niles. The world championship in basketball was going on, and the Americans were being trashed, and they don't mention anything about that. Now, who's the world champion? That's how you declare who's champion in individual countries.
Yes,
about the foolishness about NBA world champion.
But how can you classify the World Series now? Baseball.
Yeah, look.
Same thing.
You know, look here, Mr. Francis. If somebody tells a lie long enough, and everybody just repeat it afterward, you think that is true. Nobody were to ask a question again. There's a success, it should have been shut down a long time. It's not World Series because
exactly
against Cuba and all of them and Puerto Rico and they get beaten. So how do you call it World Series? But you know, America think that.
Is it because me and somebody had an argument before and they were saying when they're playing that series, I think it was New York World or something who was sponsoring it. And that's why they call it the World Series.
Oh.
It was not about other country. It was, I think, who sponsored it so many years ago or whatever, that series, and that's why he called for that. Because I was saying, how can you call something World Series and you're alone playing? But they were saying, I think if you look it up, it tells you something about...
One thing I'll tell you, Virgil, if anybody, a lot of those people who are saying it right now, they think it's the world championship, no sponsorship thing.
That is
true. It's the world championship.
Yes. And you shouldn't have that name now. No.
Okay. Right. Sports news there. But anyway, what about the men's CPL? How is it going? We're now at the almost three quarters of the way through. How is it looking for everybody? Come on, what's your take on the CPL, the men's version? Right now, in 2 minutes, Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for me? Everything is going good, but I'm watching with Barbados, and like I'm keep on saying,
and some people don't want to believe when I say it, it's not just on here. If Cornwall does not perform a team like Barbados, does not win. Barbados had a game yesterday and still, like, he only made 12 or something like that. And it seems like if he don't and make over 30, give them a quick start, it's like nobody else continue and go along with the game. But I watch the Guyana and Guyana who played today. I can't remember who played today. Another man team played today. I can't remember what. I mean, all the other games them, I'm enjoying. Oh my! Let's just lose a wicket.
All right. So, Audley, what's your quick, safe summary of the CPL?
Well, for those that have watched, I what I'm really impressed with, a game last night when they're playing in Trinidad, and it was a complete redout. When you look in the stand, there may be one or two other colleges you'd see there. Everybody is in red. Total support for the red, for the Red Brigades or whatever they're called. I tell you, this is big time support, and that they want. They are the ones that inspired the Trinidad Knight Riders, or what you know. And yes, there are some players who are putting up their hand when it comes to batting and when it comes to bowling. Some brilliant feeling. I saw Fabian Allen took a catch earlier. It was like dying and just ran down, and you know he's left-handed, and it was under his right hand, and you know on review, you know it was confirmed that he took the catch, and so we have seen some outstanding catches, some outstanding fielding, and we have seen, of course, some mediocre, you know, fielding. On the other hand, we have seen some individuals that you know show their hand with the bat. And some good bowling. So it's been lukewarm. I'm sorry for the St. Kitts Nevis Patriots. It's like every time they make a good score, you find they'll make in excess of 200. But the problem is defending it. You know, and that's a problem. And when you look, they have scored a whole lot of runs. When you look at the guys who are, you know, the team that have won other games. But the problem is, they're not defending it. I think they won one game or something like that.
Yeah, one game.
Yeah, one game. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. and the same thing with Barbados. It's like, you know, they're coming close and sometimes, you know, just giving it away or it's been taken from them. They're not giving it away. So overall, I think it's been good. It's been good. I like what's happening. And especially the final part we're looking forward to in Guyana. And Guyana is crazy when it comes to cricket.
All right.
You know, Dennis?
Oh, sorry.
When my take is that I don't particularly like the way the matches are scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you have Guyana only playing 6 matches when St. Kitts Nevis Patriots have already played 9.
Yes.
And so too Barbados played 9. I don't like, you know, giving these teams so much rest and these other teams are...
You know the reason,
I know the reason, but I don't it that way.
Okay.
I know the reason. They're playing in one position, and for financial reason, they play, they make the teams there and play. But I don't think it's fair for the other team that is resting, and then you're playing other teams that are, you know, overplaying them, playing one night and then
that
the
is,
next.
That is true. Because to play today,
that's
play
the only thing. But
I
know they have to do this. They have to do something. And the other point I want to raise is that when the national teams are playing, right, the players are going back. The players are going back home to play their national team for the national team. So I'm gonna go, and when I call, if you want me back, I'll come back. So that we have to take note.
No, they have to go. Yeah, they have to go when the team leader.
Yeah. Other than that, some of the games are very exciting, and I don't know, but I have to fix some little challenges they have, and like Audley says, St. Kitts Nevis finally won one. I don't know if the win with Ireland gave them one. But the 1-1. So,
right.
Yeah, that's my take.
Coach, any comment from you on the men's CPL?
No, not at this point, because it's still ongoing, and as we just listen, it's imbalanced. Some team has played more games than the other team, so we can't even say, like, this is halfway or close to three-quarters until everyone has played same amount of teams. So there is a possibility, but looking at it, it looks like this couple of front runner has a good advantage to take care of the title, and especially Trinidad is I'm counting on it. They are looking for another championship.
Okay, thank you, Coach. Donna, what's your comment on the men's CPL?
Well, as I said, Guyana is looking good as usual, right? But I don't count Guyana because they love to win things in the start, and then when it comes to finals, they choke up. I don't know if they're serious this year.
Okay.
But I'll watch and see what's going to become of the Guyana Amazon Warriors. I think they have been to the finals maybe 5 or 6 times.
Yeah, dear about.
And fluke up every time in the finals.
Right.
I think, I must say, the St. Kitts Nevis Patriots finally, as you say, they won a game and St. Lucia, against the St. Lucia Kings. I don't know how is it St. Lucia Kings did not fire up that day. Maybe they were sorry for them and give them a game. Since we are from the lesser
the neighbors.
Let me just say. Yeah,
neighbors,
let me give them a game.
Neighbors.
Eh?
Neighbors,
yeah, let me help
neighbors.
Them out.
Oh.
And I was saying, maybe St. Kitts Nevis should have a little more washout games. They would have got more points.
Or pick some more local guys. They would do better, right?
Probably, yeah. But
right.
They ain't pick our local guys, so.
Thank you, Donna. Hyacinth, I know you said you've seen some of the CPL. You have any comments on what you've seen so far?
I was just enjoying the game, actually. And I sort of, it's funny, because I was listening to the commentator, and when they were talking, I was in the bar, it's Barbados. They were talking about Virgil's favorite player. He says, I don't mean anything personally, but the way he was feeling wasn't the proper place for him because he can't run as fast. So I thought of Virgil straight away.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Can I say something to Hyacinth?
He did apologize. He said, didn't mean anything personally, but
okay.
He don't think he was fielding in the right place.
May I just say something to Hyacinth? Because Hyacinth, Mr. Cornwell comes from Liberta, next to where you guys live. Do you know that?
But I don't really know him.
He's your neighbor or was your neighbor?
Yeah.
No. I'm just saying, but Virgil is very passionate.
With about
him.
All right.
And he
I think all the game that he play, right, as long as he perform, they win the game. Once he don't perform, the next 10 man on that field, batting, cannot take the ship to port.
All right.
Yeah, I agree.
You understand? So it doesn't matter what they said about him on the field or what, as long as he perform with his back, most 90% Barbados win that game. If he doesn't, if he make under 30 runs, Barbados can't go nowhere.
Okay. Thank you, Virgil. Thank you, Hyacinth.
Okay,
now we've been joined by Jutsna, and when we welcome Jutsna, good evening, Jutsna. I have a question for you. Once you say your good evening.
Oh, my dear. Good morning. Good evening, brother.
All right, thank you.
Good morning.
Jackson, are you currently at the Los Angeles venue for the Cricket of the Americas Women's Knockout Series?
No, I'm not there, no.
You're not there, but you are aware of it?
I'm aware of it, yes.
Yes. And what's the news what's making the news in this current series being played right now in Los Angeles? What is the significant news being reported out of there?
It's the national. They're playing nationals at the moment to qualify for the
women's.
They are in America's qualifier. They are in America's qualifier at this point. While we speak, they are 5-0, and they still have to play one more time Canada. But most likely, if the disaster doesn't come in that game, USA will qualify for the world qualifier, which is the next step to go for the World Cup. And by the way, the main commentators for that series is right now Peter De La Pena from US side, and our Monali Patel from Canada is the one doing the live commentaries on ICC.TV. Mm.
Okay. And what's the surprising news coming out of these matches currently being played in Los Angeles? The surprising news is that there is a transgender lady who has been accepted into the series. And I just wondered, anyone heard about this situation? And I'm not criticizing.
Canada's opening batter is the one, transgender, first in woman cricket history.
Daniel.
Are you saying she was born a man? And
she was yes. Mm-hmm. He was born a man.
No, Leon. He was still a man.
Well, he was born a male, and he's now gone transgendered into a female, and of course he's now been accepted by the Canadian group, and of course ICC. And he is currently playing as a female, but of course he's had to undergo various tests and ICC and Olympic rules, which says that his testosterone level must be under a certain amount to qualify as a female, and he has passed all of those tests, or she now has passed all of those tests and is currently playing in matches being held in Los Angeles. All right, go ahead.
It is still foolish because the bone density and thing what is born as a man is still there. It's only in America and Canada and those stuff gone. You hear woman of the year was a man who turned woman and been crowned woman of the year.
In America,
remember. This is now something that the International Olympic Committee has described and discussed in details, and they do have various rules and regulations.
I'm talking about the thing like, you know, I think it's in Netherlands, the other day, they have the competition, and it's a man who is a transgender. It's the Miss... Miss Netherlands, one of them. I'm not quite sure if it's Netherlands, but one of those. And anything where a man changes himself into a woman, they always go bend over backward to make sure that they win. Right?
Yeah.
And how can you have the undercover and is a woman of the year, woman of the year? What an insult to women.
But you have to remember, oddly, that before these transgendered people can actually call themselves what they are, they have to go through certain vigorous steps. They have to satisfy the governing bodies of the sport that they qualify. And once the governing body accept them, I understand your personal views, but the governing body has said they are eligible. So we have to accept that on the face of it and give them acceptance.
I'm not gonna accept it. They do it, but I'll never accept it. I'll never accept it.
That's your personal view, and we won't.
Yes, I'll never accept it.
That's fine, but we have to remember that they do not transfer their gender and then demand to be placed. They have to meet the criteria. And until the criteria changes...
Look at Chessa Semenya.
I was going to bring that up.
She went through so much persecution as a woman who was born a woman. And she can't run this, and they're bending over backward to bring in men who Oh, come on. Let me finish talking about it, because it just burned me up.
But is Sabenia not the similar situation that,
she was born a woman. She was born a woman. It's not like she was a man and transitioned into a woman. She was born a girl. And remain a girl.
Yeah, I think there are more to the Semenya story than what you're giving us right now. Anyway, what that says to us is that, you know, these people, these transgender people, have to actually pass the criteria as laid down by the governing body for the sport. And until such time as the governing body changes the rules or accept them, then we should be accepting them for what they claim to be, because they satisfy the criteria.
Swimming, they ban them now. In swimming, they ban them. No more body from change from man to woman can no
vice versa.
In swimming. That's done. Right.
Well, that's thank you for
when they stand up and have cojones, that's what they must do. They're not to bend over and fall like. For like dominoes, because people just don't. Oh, if I get up this morning and feel like I'm a car, am I a car?
Well, all right. I think
am I a car?
Thank you, Brother Audie. You've made your point. Let's just ask about, you know, the women's CPL. And I have to say that it was very refreshing to see Deandra Dottin back with the, I think she was playing for
TKR.
Yeah, she was playing for TKR. But what was very interesting for me was the fact that we saw her in all her glory. It appears that she didn't play this very last match, and I'm not sure why. But the fact that we saw her playing and we could see that she is still at the top of her game. And so it leads me to say, come back, Deandra. We West Indies need you, irrespective of what the Ferris. Anyone see the final match today and have any comments?
Let me just comment on the Deandra Dottin, because he upset me like just what I oddly was saying about the transgender situation. I'm not satisfied. I get enough explanation why Deandra left West Indies team. I'm not satisfied. I thought it was not for that the reason that she tried to explain. You know, it doesn't give me a satisfaction. As a player I liked, I thought she would have done well for the West Indies, and I think she deserted the West Indies. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I don't care to see her anymore. I'm telling the truth. I don't care to see her anymore.
But Leon, didn't the male players do virtually the same or similar type of
they had a different situation.
Well,
she didn't come and say anything like that. She walked away from the team. To me, she didn't come right out and say what she had to say. Well, this, if she had a problem inside, why couldn't she settle it?
Well, she may have tried but was unsuccessful. The point is, the male players have done similar.
Listen to me. We heard from the vice president then, and we heard from him. He said he will do his utmost, and I believe the guy is a truthful guy. He gave them all they can. Her point is that they weren't getting enough when the West Indies Cricket Board could not afford to pay her the lavish salary that she was getting outside. Nothing wrong with you going to, but when West Indies need you, come back. And that's why I say to other players too, them players, so we just leave them out.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sure, I agree, Leon.
Let me give my piece about that.
Yes.
I totally, she played with Trinidad, and I glad they lose, because for me, I think she was mad because she ordered the other girl, Matthew, get captaincy. And to me, I believe, that's my personal opinion, that she playing cricket is all. Because the way how, you see, action speak louder than the word. You can see how she moves sometimes. She think cricket name Dutton. Like, she is all about cricket. If it's not about her, it's not about cricket. And that is, I think she just believe that nobody else is supposed to be captain the West Indies team but she. And, I mean, you just go and do the best because she's playing the tournament and they had to leave her out because of some I guess some kind of behavior or whatever it is.
She got inferior money. In the IPL, in this IPL, she got underpaid.
Okay, Leon, let me ask you a question. Virgil, are you saying that DeAndre was not included in the Trinidad-Tobago's team this match because there was some?
No. I was talking about I think earlier in the year or something where she was playing a team in Australia, something like that. Then I had to leave her out because of something.
Right.
One real franchise there that had to leave her out because of something, man. I don't know if her behavior or whatever it is, but I had to leave her out of the team.
Okay.
She got less than what she was worth in the IPL. She got less than, and she probably contested, and even Haley Machu went on and played, and her stocks went up.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't like her attitude all of a sudden. I'm telling the truth. That's my personal opinion.
Yes. Well,
she got a give and take.
The bottom line from where I sit is that, yes, there is an issue involving the administrators and administration between DeAndre and Cricket West Indies. However, at the present state of Cricket West Indies female team, we need to find a way to resolve that issue and bring her back into the fold because our cricket needs to grow.
No. We need to bring her. She already retired. She retired from that. Just like the team, maybe the same problem that she had. That's why that franchise, the last time, let her out of the team because she maybe want to talk to people how she wants and whatever. That's why probably they let her out and say, you know, something, you're not going to play. You're not bigger than the game. And when West Indies do that, they pull away from West Indies. You understand? Because it's everybody, some of them blame the board. But these players, man, some of these players can't control, they can't talk to them. They want to tell you anything they want to say, do anything they want to do, and you must accept it. It is a job that you're doing. If you go and work for your boss, and you go tell your boss all kind of stuff, the man can tell you something, I can get rid of you or get somebody else. But this is what they want. It's a job they're doing, you know. They're not doing it for free. If you're doing it for free, I could understand all this kind of stuff. But you're doing a job. But you don't want anybody to talk to you.
The Cricket West Indies does not have an excess of skilled cricket players in the female division. Therefore, whatever the issue is with DeAndre, I'm saying that somebody should sit with her to find out what the issue was.
Forgive me to cut in here. Forgive me to cut out. We hear Mr. Shallow said he do his utmost on many interviews to attract her.
Okay.
I heard him say that, and I believe him, a young man.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that.
The whole thing again, Dennis. Who tells you that she wants to come back?
I'm saying
you can do everything to attract her, but who said she really want to come back? Maybe it's more lucrative for her to continue on the
T20
circuit around the world.
Okay.
Even though the price she was sold for was marginal, you could say, because we know what she worth. But then if she take that in the first instance and then continue to explode, somebody's going to pick her up for a whole lot more. Our stock can only grow, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the question for me was that I was happy to see her back in the local cricket CPL.
Yeah.
She played 2 days ago, but didn't play in the match today. The match today, she didn't play. So why? And I'm curious to know as to why would a player of her, quote-unquote, skill level be omitted from a team playing in the women? Yes.
Especially
so
in the final,
So, I'm curious, and I wish I knew what the problem was and how it can be solved, because we do need skilled female players, and we do not have enough female skilled players who we can just simply dismiss. But at any rate, that is my own take on that.
What I also want to say, Dennis, is that other players have the same problem too. Suppose all of them were to take the same attitude. and jump ship. And, you know, it doesn't all go well at all. Sit down. You, in a situation like that, we had a give and take. She has understand that West Indies cannot do like what Australia can do for her. And they know that, and they leave a window open for the IPL in order that players, men players, can get, earn a living, and they get a chance to go to the IPL, the Big Bash, and so forth. But okay. She doesn't want to give and take. She wants to do one. Okay?
All right. Well, let's leave that where it is for now. Maybe we'll revisit it next time or in another episode. Well, how about the red card situation? I saw a red card being issued today again in the CPL. What does anyone know exactly about how this red card is used? Because I think it's used in more than one situation. Let's go to Coach and see if Coach can give us the skinny on exactly how the red card.
Red card in cricket.
The red card in cricket. Coach?
I think the red card supposed to be on-field disciplines only. But unfortunately, CPL extended the red card option. I think there was an incident, if I read it right. Sunil Narine was given red card in one of the previous games. And looking at article and those, I realized it was because of the slow run rate or slow over rate, something like that. Now, that's supposed not to be penalized to the player. As I say, the ICC's original invention for that red card was just like a soccer. If something has happened on the field, player can be rejected from the action. Means he cannot come back in the game. He cannot participate during the rest of the game. But the CPL red card is a completely modified version, let's say. And they are applying this one for two reasons. To make sure that the team follow, right? Number two, this penalty is harsh to me. If it is for the over rate or something like that, because at the same time they are also penalizing the player from these fees, actually, sometimes a percentage, quarter, half, whatever it is, that means the half of the amount of the match fees or something is going away. So it's supposed not to be two-way, but my biggest thing, in my opinion, I will say, this will help keep this red card for the offenses, whatever happens on the field. That's it.
Well,
my understanding is different. Jatin, I thought the red card situation pertained to the over rate from the 17th to the 19th over in the T20 match.
The 19th.
What's been published. It said, if behind the required over rate at the start of the 18th over, one additional player must enter the fielding
into the
circle.
Enter the circle, yes.
But that's one. Point
so what
two,
it means, if you look at it, this rule, you cannot have five players outside the third yard.
Point taken, right?
There was a confusing statement, fielding circle. It's supposed to be the 30-yard circle, right?
Okay.
So you are losing advantage to have a one outside fielder during the last 2 overs. It starts with the 18. And then you are in a 19th over if you are behind.
Yes.
Then
now
you
are
the
looking
player.
At two fielders need to be inside the 30.
Inside that circle. So you bring another one inside the circle.
Yeah.
So now from the four inside the circle, now you are adding fifth after the 18. If you are still late, now you have six fielders besides wicketkeeper and bowler inside the 30 yards. Means you are giving the advantage to the other team for their aerial shots and scoring runs. And then eventually after the final over, which is the 20th over, you are losing one player.
Well, can I correct something there, Coach? because the written information I have says if they are behind the rate at the start of the 20th over, the team will lose a player from the field. Selected by the captain. It doesn't say
that
he's no longer eligible. It simply says they will lose an additional player from the field. And that's just a temporary thing. So
become
that
10.
It doesn't... Yeah,
but
so it doesn't...
That means the last over
in this situation, that means the last over will be fielded by 10 people, not 11.
Yes, not 11.
Correct. But,
and the 11 player is not allowed to take any action during that over, as well as there is no substitution.
Right, but that player can come back and bat in their position normally when their innings begin, especially if you're in the first. Okay, so that sort of clarifies it for me. I hope that it's clear enough for others.
Okay. Dennis, can we quickly go into the Asian Cup? We can't forget
that. That is the next on the agenda, Leon. Go right ahead and take it away.
Well, I only have, I don't have the details, so perhaps Jatin can tell us or anyone who else has the information. I have not been watching the matches.
Okay.
I think the one that is being washed out by is not being washed out. Is it?
Extra day was resumed?
It will be resumed.
Extra day was provided.
I think at the same score.
It will resume. Yeah.
So
that's
the start time is the same. Start time is the same on a reverse reserve day. Means whatever the start time they had today will be the same start time tomorrow morning. Game will start.
Okay.
But the inning will resume.
Okay.
Is the first time they put these inning status as a stumps, means it will carry over.
Mm.
If you recall 1975, 1979 World Cup in England, when the 60-over World Cup was played, ODI, they used to follow the same rule. They used to play the game for 2 days, and whatever the standing is at the end of the first day, they resume on the second day and finish the game.
All right. Good.
So who team was playing in the Asia Cup? Who was playing today?
Well, today was
India. You know something? My son come in and tell me something about India and Pakistan. I'm telling him, no, there is no. I know the World Cup coming up had to be something about the World Cup coming up. It's nothing about India and Pakistan playing right now. And he was watching it and telling me the truth, but I did not. I thought it was something from long time ago or whatever he was watching.
No.
I didn't realize.
This is the Asia Cup. It's hosted by the Pakistan, and with this mutual agreement, they decided that India will not play Pakistan. So they decided to take this game to Sri Lanka. They're playing in Colombo, this game. They had a first game, round one.
That is good,
It was a washed out.
But...
And this is the real competition going on because one of the team can secure the final. There is no semifinal. In Super 4 stage, right now Pakistan has, I think, 4 points and 2 points Sri Lanka.
So that's the same tomorrow again.
More games to go.
Yes, and resume the match today.
Okay.
We will resume tomorrow.
No, I got to make sure I watch that, man. I didn't know, man. I thought it was something else. You see, got something pop up on his phone, and he was telling me about that, and I said, no, it can't be. It's something else that you see there, or maybe sometime that they're talking about the World Cup coming up or something like that, and didn't realize
But India had a good score so far, Virgil, 147 for 2 from 24.1 overs. So
guess
like you heard tonight, they're going to carry forward that score.
Rohit Sharma made 56 from 49. Salman Gill 58 from 52. The Kohli's not out 8 from 16. Rahul is not out 17 from 28. And,
he's got 50 over, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
24 overs gone, and then 24.1 over have been completed. They'll start tomorrow morning at that score.
Yes.
Ooh.
So
got to make sure I watch that, man.
That's correct. So there's a message for Virgil in there. That means if you have to stay with the cricket show to get all the news, as Simon would say, you've got to be on this show in order to get the up-to-date news. You know?
Is he still on?
Yes, Simon is still there with us. He's listening.
I'm home all day and this game going on and I didn't even realize. Oh.
Well, let me put it this way, Virgil. For you, that match started at about 5:30 a.m.
5:30.
Your time.
Oh,
5:30.
Okay,
so make sure you up at 5:30 a.m. tomorrow morning to catch the start of, you know, of the resumption of this match. For me, on
yeah,
the West
I'll be on
Coast.
I'll be on the road, so I'll see it, yeah.
Yeah. And for me on the West Coast, I'm sorry, that is way, way right in the middle of my bedtime. Anyway, that's that. Let's move on quickly because we're running out of time. The ICC Player of the Month were nominated. And we have, for the men, it was Babar Azam, Shadab Khan, and Nicholas Puran. For the women, it was Aina Hashim, Arlene Kelly, and Iris Zwilling. Barbara Azam, he scored 53 and 60 and 151 in his last three innings. For Shadab Khan of Pakistan, he took 3 for 42 and 4 for 27. And of course, we all know the exploits of Nicholas Puran. He scored a lot of runs in T20. In 176 runs in 5 T20 matches, 2 at 40, 1 at 67, including player of the series. So there are those three. Anyone care to vote now and tell us on the cricket show who would be your player of the month of August of those three gentlemen?
Ba
Adam.
Gotcha. All right, yep. Got it. Anyone else? Quick. Virgil?
I'm going to go with Baba.
All right. Donna, are you listening? Who would we vote for in that?
I'll go with my Caribbean boy, Puran.
Puran. Thank you, Puran. Dion, what's your vote on this one?
Who? I said Babar Azam.
You said Babar Azam. Okay. Yeah. All right. Is the coach playing this game?
Yeah, I'll go for the Babar.
You go for Babar, too. All right. I see Hyacinth. What about you? Are you playing this game with us?
Okay, as I don't really know the players too well, I'll just go with the majority.
All right, let's hear you, Jochna. What's your take on this player of the month, the men player of the month? No?
She's gone with us.
Well, I'll join. My vote is with Donna. I will go for Nicholas Puran on the men's side. On the women's side, we have Ashim, who has managed 105 runs and 6 wickets, average of 52, and the run total there. She is from Malaysia, and Kelly, she took 5 for 12, 3 for 11, 2 for 20, wickets average 4.3, and I think she is from Ireland. And Iris Zwilling, she's from the Netherlands, 178 runs in 6 innings and 2 half centuries. So, which female will we vote for player of the month of August?
Lady from Ireland for me.
The lady Kelly. From Ireland, Kelly. All right, Malaysia.
I nominate Hayley Matthews and vote for Hayley Matthews.
Well,
lady from Ireland. Lady from Ireland.
Oh,
I'm just joking.
You're cheating. Virgil.
I'm going to go the first way call from Malaysia.
Malaysia, all right.
Yeah, I don't know her name, but
Hashim.
I'll go Ireland.
Okay.
You go for Ireland.
Ireland.
That was Hyacinth going for Ireland. Yes.
Yeah.
Ireland. Yes.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Donna, what's your vote?
I'll go with the majority and say Ireland because I don't watch the ladies. I don't watch the ladies that much. I watch them now and again.
Ireland for me.
Okay. Judge, which lady?
Ireland for me.
Ireland for you. All right. Well, okay. I think that, yes, we have a majority vote for Ireland, so we will go with that and move on to let you know we have approximately 7 minutes, so let's start the final word from Virgil. Virgil, closing words.
Yeah, as we come to another close-up show, I just hope the audience enjoy it as we enjoy it. CPL is now getting close to the final. The woman, Barbados champion, wish them all the best.
Mm-hmm.
And looking forward again for Guyana. Coming up.
Amazon Warriors.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. Looking forward and friend coming. They always go to the final and then drop. But looking forward to this next week of real good CPL. Yeah.
A real good CPL. It doesn't take very real good CPL today or yesterday. All right. Let's hear your final word, please, Audrey. Audrey is muted. All right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'm here.
That's your final word, please.
Of course, I enjoyed the program today, and we're looking forward to having another blockbuster next week. But remember, have a good week, and I have a no clause in here to give for you to consider for the week.
Yes.
Do your best. He said, do the best you can until you know better. And when you know better, do it. And that's from Maya Angelou. So let's keep that in mind as we go.
Okay.
Bless you. We talk God willing next week.
Thank you, Audley. Donna, your final words on passing.
Oh, yes. As usual, very good show. I enjoyed every bit of it. I look forward to everyone having a good week. And see you on the radio next week for another program.
Right.
Good
Remember
night, everyone.
Thank you, Donna. Remember, you're in the hot seat next week for the Focus on the Law. And we'll be in touch. Right.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
Dana.
Your final word, please. Coach, your final parting words.
Yes, it was a good show. And I'd like to make a correction on one of the panelists.
Yes.
In today's game, the lady played is not a Patel. She is Patil, P-A-T-I-L. It's a different community. I just want to give you on that. But it's good to see an Indian player performing in CPL and playing in a final. That's a huge. And let's hope we can have more talent come out of India to play in this part of the world. But let's catch on next week for more information.
Thank you, Coach. And I think Audley made that correction earlier on, didn't he? Okay. Simon, your final parting words.
I'm very happy to do that. And as usual, I'm so happy to be on this show. Learning so much from you, talented gentlemen and ladies who know the game so well. Like I told my grandkid, I was following this game since I was 3 years old, and I learned something new each night I come on this show. This is a wonderful show. Have a wonderful week all, and be safe. Be back here next week, Sunday, on the Cricket Show. Good
Thank
night,
you,
all.
All right. Thank you, Simon. Judge, let's have your final thoughts before we close out.
Yes, good night all. It was a great show again. And everybody have a good week. See you all next Sunday again.
All right, thank you, Jasna.
Mr. Leon, happy belated birthday.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate it. Hyacinth, let's have your final thought before we sign off.
Just want to say thank you, each and every one. And we have fulfilled our aims, which was to educate, to inform, and to entertain, because we've had all three. And also, the coach's thing, discipline and attitude, We had even talked about that in some of the things we went through. So thank you. As it says, we are always learning. So thank you so much. I'm learning so much.
Yes, thank
you. All right, Simon, you are being quoted again. All right, Leon, it's your turn. Give us the final thought.
First off, let me just take the opportunity to thank everyone who played a part in making me feel happy by, you know, sending messages of congratulations on my birthday. It was a joy. It was a real pleasure to receive them, both text messages and the works. We had a wonderful show. Thank you, Dennis. You did a great job, as usual. And we just hope that many listeners around the world will join us each and every week at 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The number is 1-515-605-9850. 515-605-9850.
You know,
thank you so much.
Leon, we missed Mertris tonight, I think.
Oh, yes, we did miss. Oh, yes, let me just say a little word, because we know that her mother has been struggling in weeks, and perhaps she might have been detained by her not being feeling well. So we want to ask the panelists to say a little prayer for her, and because she was struggling with ill health, and we just want to see a prayer, a little prayer here and there will not hurt. So Babsy Nisbet, Murchis's mother, say a little prayer for her. And
of course, Babsy
herself as well.
Murchis, you're not here in body, but you're here in spirit, and we're thinking about you and the present situation. And on our way out, I just want to remind everyone that for inspirational hour and entertainment, awesome as the entertainment, you should check in with the Saturday morning entertainment show at Caribbean Global Voices, blogtalkradio.com/Caribbean Global Voices, call 1-563-999-3693. Once again, Saturday morning, that is your place, 9 a.m. to 12. And that's it for us. Thank you for joining us. Come back next week.
Yeah.
Leon, if you have any music.
Yes,
for us,
I do have.
We have about 30 seconds. Thank you.
Okay. This is what I have.
Come join with me, let's introduce to Mike Finley. Let's DJ come jump with me and introduce to Mike Finley. I am sure you all remember the achievements made by this cricketer. Now come, let's join as one and pay tribute to the man who let us pay tribute to a great Vincent Sean. The greatest keeper to pass through the region. He made smaller than cricket start climbing the ladder. Not playing injustices and pressure. A footballer, basketballer, the great wicketkeeper, a sprinter, a long jumper, a superstar goalkeeper. I say we should strong this man, he's the greatest sportsman. Every Vincy man and woman, time to come together as one and salute a true champion. I want you politicians to know, when you're talking about national hero, don't wait till Mike is dead to put no crown on his head. Who let us pay tribute to this great Vincent Sean, the greatest keeper to pass through the region. He took the combined island to the top of the ladder. He led the Santimol encounter against England in St. Lucia. Finley proved a great keeper, so they dropped more in the world record holder. To take this man to Australia, for that alone we should crown the man. Yes, it is greatest sportsman. Play New Zealand in Dimsha, no camera, no third umpire. The cast is spectacular, the umpire Ben Glenn Turner. But Finley told the skipper for Gary, he did not take the catch cleanly. Everyone thought it was a joke, they called him the fool. Who let us pay tribute to a true sportsman, one of the fairest out of the car.
Caribbean.
I keep in it.
An athlete of integrity.
I keep in it.
Win or lose, he played on his feet.
I keep in it.
He's so cool, he's so humble.
A great role model.
A perfect example for all sports people. I am going to crown this man as the greatest sportsman. WICB cook up the conspiracy to bring back Derek Murray. They victimized Mike Findlay, but Findlay ignored all this and continued to play his cricket. We all know he was the best, so Murray played all the tests. Oh, let us pay tribute to our great Vincent Charles, the greatest keeper to pass through the region. He opened the door for the small island cricketer while battling prejudicial thoughts. Yeah. Tell that cricket and soccer
require
a very strong leader,
a great team player.
I am going to crown this man the Caribbean's greatest sportsman.
Bye, Donna.
Bye.
Bye. Good night, all.